Celebrating success, learning from legends, and growing poppies. This is Tall Poppy Talk with Grace Lewis.
Kia ora and welcome to Tall Poppy Talk. Today, you can already hear it in my voice. I'm so excited. We have Meg Alexander. She is a New Zealand actress, a creative, and a rising force, honestly. While many Kiwis may know her best for her role as Cassie Lloyd on the long-running, iconic Shortland Street, the world is quickly getting to know Meg for her multifaceted talents. As a creative, she brings brilliant content from behind the scenes, whether that's on film sets, as well as her music and her fitness journey. I told her before we started, I'm quickly becoming a big fan. Realizing her ambition and talents young, Meg was training early in her school years before she began working in high performance environments at age 16 and is gaining a notable credits list from theater to short film and of course, TV. I believe you're approaching getting to that 200 eps level, if the internet serves me right. Character arc on Shortland Street has resonated deeply with audiences, and then her joyous personality online resonates with even further. Meg, it's such a gift to have you on the podcast today. Welcome to Tall Poppy Talk. My first question is, where and how are you today?
I am so good. I'm so excited to be talking to you. I'm already so hyped up, I'm flustered from that intro. I'm just in my house in Auckland chilling. It's a beautiful sunset right now and I'm feeling just really excited and kind of nervous, but really excited for the most part.
Okay, those nerves I love, and also you must be really familiar with them. You're on stage or you're being filmed. Now obviously there's this camera we're recording. What do you do to, can you chill out or do you just embrace the nerves?
Honestly, it really depends on the scenario. I think on set, because I think it's more the people that you're around or the scenario or the day that you've had. Really, it's a compilation of things that kind of build up to how bad the nerves can get. But what I do, I have this it's already getting deep now. We're not even 5 minutes in. I do this little meditation that I very much love. And I sort of just picture myself at the place where I feel most at peace, which is on top of Mount Eden because I love walking up there. And it just calms me down and I think about it. And then I take a breath and I keep going with my day. And that's kind of how I calm the nerves. But sometimes you can't tame them. You just have to embrace it and be like, this is me.
You have to, it's such a cliche, but feel the fear and do it anyway, and then trust your training. I love that we're already going deep, so thank you. And that is so true. I often resonate with the athletic experience, and that's why I mentioned in your intro, you are in high performance environments. It's just, especially in New Zealand, we think high performance, we think sport. High performance means a plethora of things. It means academics, business, it means being on front of screen, having to be really vulnerable and knowing that it's going to be broadcast to hundreds of thousands, millions. It's so exciting to discuss this range of high performance. And my first question, I often think of the meme, it's so silly, but it's what my friends think I do, what my parents think I do, what I really do. And so when I have someone such as yourself, actress, actor, okay, we know these terms. We maybe know who our favorite one is, but we don't really know what they do. So this first question is, what do people think you do? And then what do you really do as an actress?
Oh, okay, so I think, I'm not sure what people think I do, because I feel like I have such, because I live it and I am and I live and breathe acting, it's just a normal part for me to do these all weird things that people wouldn't think about. But I think people think I just kind of rock up to, I learn my lines, rock up to set and do my thing and have a dandy old day, which is true, partly true. As what I actually do, it's a lot of prep work, a lot of thinking, a lot of taking up all the time on the weekends to learn your lines, learn where you're at in your story, or say for an audition, perhaps doing research. I'm literally on IMDb Pro every second of the day. It is what I scroll on because I love stalking the people that I want to work with. I like stalking their projects and development. It's such a life hack, by the way. Things that are untitled projects, you can find out within 2 seconds, which I don't know if I'm supposed to do, but I do it anyway. But it's just a lot of really intense thinking. I think so much. No wonder that I have a big forehead. Girl, come on. I be up in that all the time. But it's just a lot of repetition, memorization, especially with accents recently, which I've been working on a lot. That's a lot of working on the muscle, mind muscle connection there with your mouth. And it's honestly watching a lot of films. I go to the cinema all the time to see what's been released, but also things that have been restored from like the 1960s or something. It's so much, it's just like very much its own world that I'm very much in. And I feel like people think the job is very easy because it seems so like one-dimensional, but it's really not. Like, we are some of the most, like, not to necessarily compare, but it is its own type of sport. Like, we are so go, go, go all the time. And our brain is like our muscle that we're using and our emotions. And I think that is such a huge part of it. It's so exhausting, but also so fulfilling at the same time. So I think a lot of the time people think it can be easy, but we might be filming for like what, like 12 hours a day. Like, girl, there's no sleep.
No, thank you for that. Just great and also a little chaotic in the best way because it shows where your mind at. It's like, I can't tell you what I really do because also my experience is going to be different to other actors and actresses' experience. But that recon, often I have a friend who's a writer and she's reading all the time. And then she's on, you go on IMDb, she goes on like these reading ones too. You want to absorb and there's no clear path either. So, how you do it might be very different to how we're talking about Kim Crossman before. Her process might be different stepping into it. So part of that journey is figuring out, what do I do as an actor?
Exactly.
What's my thing? And you are still so young, but you've been at this high performance. Like 16 was when you joined Shortland Street, right?
I was the month before I turned 16, so 15.
Yeah.
Just about.
Wow. Quick tangent, and then I'll get back on. Love this. When you're talking about
Go
accents, I've been living in New Jersey, which is like, I can't believe I'm gonna do this on the podcast. It's like my granddaughter. Oh
on.
my God, I'm talking like this. It's like I have people that I
Wait,
work.
that's so good.
It's called the Donna. Shout out to the Donna. I've literally been
Period.
working with people who were like, they do this, they're talking like this. Oh my God, she's so smart. And that one I love. But then the regular, quote unquote, like standard American could not do to save my life. So
Really?
how do you? And like for me, that's a word like granddaughter that clicks me into it because it's got all the inflections, etc. Like these accents talk to me about ones you feel confident in, how you even do click in to one of the ones you want to use. How's that?
Okay, well, first of all, your New Jersey accent is so good. I immediately was like, okay, like she's done her research. I am very much so I've been training a lot with my general standard American because it's just very important. And then also like British, like RP, which is like Royal Pronunciation. It's kind of like your Bridgerton type vibe versus like more modern day sort of like Liverpool, like things like that. It's more just general. But with my American accent, I have an accent coach, Jennifer White. I love her. I only started recently working with her. But I don't really know what it is. I don't really have like a sentence. It's more just the vibe. I kind of like embody the American, you know what I mean? That like confident. I think of Margot Robbie a lot. She's my inspo for life and for everything ever. I think of her a lot when she's doing her accents, or like Will Poulter, by the way, who's blowing up right now, but I've been obsessed with him since Maze Runner, girl. We've been back. Me and him were like this. He incredible at an American accent. I was watching Warfare and I was just like listening, being like, this guy does not slip once because he's British. And I was like, damn. But I when I was actually, this is such a tangent, but when I was a kid, maybe like age, I want to say like 7 to 10 years old, I had an American accent just because I kept watching a bunch of American media. And people would ask me, like, are you from Hollywood? And I would get so offended. I'd be like, no, I'm a Kiwi. But then I watch back these videos of me on like Musical.ly of me talking, and I'm like, I was like a Californian. And I was like, damn, girl. But really, it's just kind of like I will learn a script if the script is like, say, an audition for something American, I will learn the script only in an American accent. And so that way, there's no like chance for me slipping into a Kiwi because I didn't learn it that way. It's very much muscle memory. It's like, you pick up a weight a certain way and you do an exercise. It's kind of like that. You get used to that and that's easy until you try it a different way. And then you're like, oh God, I don't know.
No, thank you. Because also, that's the same if you're trying to learn a language or it's the activating other parts. Because Kiwis, we just naturally we inflect at the end of our sentence. Our vowels, like what even are our vowels? I can't even say the word vowels without cutting that E short. Trying to unwork that. And then there are certain words that we just hang our hat on. It's the most
Oh
Kiwi
my God.
phrases we can say. So that whole accent experience, and I'm sure like with Millie Bobby Brown, Stranger Things, she now goes between American and British, just regular talking,
I
because
know.
she's had to work that muscle memory so much. So that's a really fascinating part, I think, too, when you're a Kiwi actor, is really putting that time and investment into American British, because a lot of the opportunities, while we love what New Zealand offers, if you really want to expand your career and work on international stuff, I think that standard American accent is sort of a base requirement at this stage.
Oh my gosh, it's so important, so important. And I think we're really lucky because, with, not to get too technical, but with Americans, the way that they speak, they use a lot of, like, if you think about it on a purely physical level, they use a lot of their mouth muscles. It's very intense, very muscular. Whereas we're more laid back. So it's easier for us to train to use these muscles than it is for an American to untrain them to try to do our accents. So as
Wow.
like Kiwi or like even Australians, I think that's kind of why you find a lot of them, like Sarah Snook, for example, in like Succession. You find like these Australian Kiwi actors are really good at accents. It's only because we're just building up something that Americans have already got from the beginning. And so we're just building that skill, whereas they're trying to reverse it. If you, it's really like, it's a bit of a mind fuck, really. But we're quite lucky in the sense that we can just kind of learn it, and
Yeah.
it's not such a struggle, you know?
Yeah, it's like trying to dull your voice, go back
Debuild the
in,
muscle,
de-build it, whereas we can lean in. You're so right. And also growing up, you think that your accent is the base. Like I thought New Zealand was like the most neutral accent. So, and I'm all here for the technical stuff too, because this is part, like when I go back to that first question of what do you really do? Like people might see you pop up as Cassie on Shortland Street, and then they don't know that this is the mahi that's going on behind the screens. And for those listening, we have some Meg reached out, which we love, on her platform. So we have some fan, like we'll use those words. Yeah, we have some fan questions, but we'll get to it at the end. But so when I was doing my research for you, there was an interview from almost exactly a year ago, which is just signs, and it was with Staff, and you were asked, okay, so you're asked a classic, like how would your friends describe you in three words? And the words you used then were trustworthy, bubbly, and fearless. Okay. Do you feel like these still encompass you? Have those three words evolved? Would you still say, yeah, it was trustworthy, bubbly, and fearless? Now, if I asked you that question, and then when you reflect on what you were saying a year ago, how do you feel like that's evolved in the past year?
First of all, I love you for your research. This is incredible. I remember being asked this, and I feel like I was kind of lying because I didn't really know. Like, I could only assume what my friends would see, but in myself at that time, I did not feel fearless at all. And I
Yeah.
think that's kind of the thing of like, it's like that fake it till you make it, because now, a year later, I can totally say I'm very much fearless. I've built so much confidence in myself. And I think, like, you know, I think I'm pretty bubbly. I think we've kind of caught that at this point. And, you know, trustworthy as well. I'm sure you can, maybe you feel trustworthy with me. I don't
Yeah.
know. I hope so. But I think being fearless and that confidence I wanted at that time, but didn't have. And now that I do at this point in my life, especially because I think I was still 17, or maybe I turned 18. I don't remember when I did the interview. Maybe I was 17-ish. It was kind of that like transition period into like, oh my God, I'm an adult. Adult, I'm literally 18, guys. Come on. But you know what I mean? It's that like transition period where you're kind of like learning things and doing things for the first time and experiencing things as all, like experiencing the world in a whole different way. And at that point, I think people thought I was fearless because that's how I presented myself, but I was not. You know, I think to a degree, for sure, but I was still very much in my head a lot. And don't get me wrong, I still am. But I think I found ways to sort of own who I am more now, just going through life and making wonderful friends and working on myself and putting in all the really hard work into everything I do to be able to say, yes, I know that this was really good. This is what I could work on. Or in social situations, you know, I feel like I'm a lot more friendly and I'm a lot more open and I'm very like non-judgmental when I'm meeting people. And I feel like that's why I've kind of found it easier to make friends, which I think, oh, when I was a kid was so hard. I was like the shyest little depressed little tiny child ever. Like I was, we don't need to get that deep, but it was deep. It was deep, you know, mentally, definitely struggled a lot as a kid. And I think, you know, that like awkward, like previews best kind of era where you're like no one look at me, like I hate myself, I hate the world. I think that was like major for me. And then post-COVID and when I started acting, I think that was the beginning of my real, like, I guess, self-development in confidence and discovering who I am. And then now that I'm sort of like able to go out into the world, you know what I mean? Like a little fun night out, meet a lot of people in the industry, because I guess like everyone kind of knows each other. That's the thing about the New Zealand film industry. Everyone kind of knows each other. So on a night out, you'll like spot your friend that you like worked with maybe like a month ago, be like, oh And then you meet all of their friends and they're all actors, and it's just such a fun thing to do. And I think that's such like a good confidence builder, is just putting yourself out there, whether it be auditions and just doing the work and making sure that you're doing the best that you can, or just being more confident and introducing yourself and making friends. Like I feel like it's just like trial and error, and it's just you just have to do it, and that's how you get to that level of being fearless. And I think that's over the past year, that's absolutely what I've been doing. And I don't know, I feel really proud.
You should feel proud. That was exactly like manifesting, fake it till you make it, you putting it out in the universe, whatever people want to say. And now you arrive in the spot. And I'm sure in a year's time, you'll be like, oh, we thought we were fearless then. It's
Oh,
just
guess
elevated,
what?
right? And I think, too, a word that I would, if I was needing to describe you, and just a big compliment here, is you're very disarming in a great way. So often, and we'll get into the tall poppy question, but when you meet people, you do have this, sometimes you size each other up. Like we're humans, it's what's happened. You have this ability to disarm and potentially, in fact, I would make maybe the leap that in your field, your talents of wanting to learn and absorb so that you can portray different characters, like you genuinely want to know about people, and that's a really disarming, welcoming feeling, right? So when we're chatting, already I feel like I can ask you all these questions because you actually care and like you want to know. So when we're,
That's
it's the truth, and that gets me onto the tall poppy question. And I briefly told you before we started, but I do think it's such a gift to, like you said, New Zealand, it's a smaller industry, which is hugely advantageous in the sense that you can just go up to actors who've been doing it for decades and there's fewer degrees of separation. But in that same way, everyone does know each other. So sometimes that invites preconceived or like pre-notions before you've actually had this. So without my rambling and leading the witness too much, with tall poppy syndrome, no right or wrong answer, but how would you describe it in your own words? And then how have you experienced or like witnessed it?
I think obviously New Zealand as a whole, I feel like we all experience this in kind of every industry, but I think especially in the film industry, because like you said, everyone kind of knows each other or knows of each other. It's very apparent when you feel that sort of like competitiveness or that like need to, maybe keep things quiet until you know for sure because you don't know, and people could cut you down for that. You know, it's really interesting. And I think for me, I find tall poppy syndrome within myself a lot, and I've been trying to really like, I guess, get rid of that, because only recently I started therapy. Only recently did I start therapy. And my therapist, she told me, she was like, by cutting yourself down when you've already done so much work and so much, you've succeeded so much in your life, but by cutting yourself down over these little things that don't really matter, and by making yourself feel less than because you're comparing yourself to others, you're not actually doing yourself any help. It's not making you a better person. It's not making you develop into this great, beautiful person that you want to be. You're actually not helping yourself. And I think our brains kind of use it as a defense mechanism. So then if you really want something, but you kind of undermine it, or you achieve something, but you downplay it because you don't want to have disappointment or anything on how people might react or like how it's going to turn out. That's your brain trying to like defend yourself, but you have no reason to because you've already done it, or you're already in the running, and it's already something that you've been working on so hard, and that in itself is a success. And so I think it's obviously something that everybody struggles with, and I think we all will because it's kind of ingrained in our culture. But I think seeing tall poppy syndrome kind of around, you can also recognize the people that are trying to reverse it very easily. And I have such a good community of friends and family, and just like, chosen family within the film industry, who really uplift you when you're trying to do that to yourself in that like self-sabotagey way. So Jess Sayer, who plays Maeve on the show, she's basically like my mom. Every time, I tell her something that's really exciting, she will always like lift me up and be like, "That's so good, Meg. You're gonna nail it. You're gonna blah, blah, blah." She's very like, she's honestly amazing. And it just gets rid of any like self-doubt that I have, any like, imposter syndrome-y. It's really nice having those people around. And so I think I haven't seen much of it, but I've experienced much of it in myself. But then I've seen people who really fight against that. And I think that's so amazing because a lot of people don't have that. But when you find those in your life who are really there to support you and cheer you on, it helps you realize how much work you've done and how much you actually have succeeded and how you do deserve to celebrate and be proud of the things that you've done. Because, you a year ago, like you just said, talking about myself a year ago, I was like, that girl didn't know shit. But then talking about myself now, I'm like, I do know shit, but I'm sure that'll be the same thing in a year's time. Like I would have grown and learned so much, but I'm not going to cut myself down for who I was back then or who I am now, because I think it's all just a part of a journey that we're all on. We're all on our individual journeys. And I think it's really important. You probably see these quotes all the time, but it's like feeling, anxious about the future or whatever it is, and being like, will I, won't I? But then you've already achieved so many things in the past that you had those very same questions about. I think just like more personal examples, I think getting over a lot of fears of mine, whether that be, swimming in the goddamn ocean or like in terms of romance, or if it's in terms of, being nervous for auditions, or it's that will I, won't I, but it's I did. I already did that. There's no reason for me to keep questioning things that I'm, about to enter, because I know that I've done that with things in the past and it turned out completely fine or even better than I had imagined. And I think that's kind of where I'm at right now, where I'm like, a lot of exciting things are happening. Like, I just signed with a US management team. Shout out Brave Artists. We love you. And that was literally, I found a journal entry from maybe January this year and then last year as well. So twice I had journaled about this, that I wanted to sign with them. And then it happened, and like I had a sit down meeting, signed me on the spot, and I was like, you guys, are you seeing this meeting? Like the reality TV cameras in the corner, like, you guys seeing this? Like, literally, like, that's what it was like. And that's one of those moments where for so long I had that will I, won't I? Oh my God, am I worthy? Have I done enough work? Will it happen? And then it just did with so much ease. And that's because I had done the hard work and I had that anxiety, but I also had that confidence within me, where I'm like, no, I don't need to be a little tall poppy about this. I don't need to cut myself down. I can own the fact that I have done the mahi and I've done the work and that I know I'm worth it to get to this point. And I think now this is a really, like, kind of what you're talking about, like a really exciting stage for me, where like I don't know what's next, but whatever it is, I know it's going to be really amazing. And I just having that self-confidence and that self-love within me, not in like a weird like bragging way, but it's more just like having that assurance within myself that, maybe people like Jess would give me, or my family would give me, or my really close friends like Tessa, I love Tessa, shout out Tessa, would give me. It's like being able to give myself that is a really important skill that I think, everybody should learn, to be able to give themselves that confidence and that reassurance and look in the mirror and be like, yo, you were badass, you did it, like, period. And that takes so much time, especially, with someone like me who struggled mentally so much in the past with that. I think being able to like do that now, I'm just smiling thinking about it. I'm like, I'm so proud. And it took a lot in me, like maybe 5 years in me, to get to this point, but I did it. And I think it's just, I don't know, I'm just really proud. And also, I've gone on such a tangent with this question.
You've done exactly what the question is, and thank you, because I
Yeah.
get like that warm giddiness in me when I'm hearing you speak, because this podcast does offer you that opportunity to look and be like, oh well, I have done this. And I'm just so impressed in general by you, but at your age, to have that maturity and that self-confidence be bolstered, because that's such a beautiful thing. And I completely agree that for me, the tall poppy experience is feeling like I won't even try because I don't want to quote unquote fail. And a couple of things I wanted to share with you that might resonate is one thing, like a
Yeah.
mantra or affirmation I'll give is like, it's always cringe until it's successful, right? Like, until someone's
Absolutely.
succeeding, it's like, oh my gosh, that's cringe. Like, why is Grace doing a podcast? Until it's like, oh, you got this guest, you did this. Like, you're going to
Yes.
feel that. And then the other one, I had this
Oof.
coach say, I love it. This one coach said, he said a lot of things, but this one really stuck of, he said, champions act like champions long before they become champions. So you don't just one
Oh my
day,
gosh.
right? Like, you don't just, this was more in a sporting sense, but for you in acting, like, you don't one day become the lead actress or actor in a film
No.
because you stumbled into it and then you're like, oh okay, well now I'm a lead. No, like, you see that, and you've probably had that a lot in environments where someone just carries themselves with that self-confidence, that self-assurance. And that's not to
Yeah.
say that they're not scared, but they trust that they've always had their back, like they've made it work.
Yeah.
So you're like,
Exactly.
to have that excitement. And I've only probably recently in a couple of years pivoted from like, what's the future going to bring, to What's the future gonna
What's the future
bring?
gonna bring? Actually,
Yeah.
no, I actually am obsessed with those, especially the first one that you said. It's always cringe until it's successful. That I think is such like a reassuring thing to have, because I went through exactly that. Like, I started shorty when I was in high school, and then like halfway through year 11, and my first year of high school was during COVID, so I hadn't had a full school year until year 11, and that's when I landed shorty. And then year 12, I left and I did school online when I was filming. And a little PS, I don't talk to anyone from high school. I don't have many friends that are my age, but that don't stop me. That don't stop me. Shout out Charlotte, my childhood best friend. Love you too. I'm doing a lot of shout outs. I'm teaching this like a radio station. Like, shout out to my boy. But I think for the first time when I like first started, that was that feeling of like still being in school, but then also filming at the same time and having people be like judgmental or like being like, oh, what the hell? What the hell is this girl doing? Like, this girl back in the science class, like, huh? Like, why is our science teacher talking about Shorten Street? Shout out to her. I don't remember her name, but she was gorgeous. She spoiled the fact that I was going on the show before it aired. Oh my God. Shout out to that teacher. Anyway, love you. One of the only teachers that I liked. Just kidding. There were some other ones that I liked too. But yeah, basically that I resonate with so much, because it was cringe until, my contract started extending. All of a sudden, I'm getting these storylines. All of a sudden, I'm getting all these auditions. And I'm like, oh, so now it's my career. Like, now this is my life. And obviously, I always expected it, because I have so much love and so much passion for this thing. And it's just like such a good, like, when I started, I was like, this is what I'm meant to be doing with my life. But to others on the outside, they had no clue how invested I was. And so it was cringe until it was successful. And that, my friends, is the quote of the day. That is the quote of the day. Thank you, ma'am.
I'm so glad that resonated. And there's Cyril Riley. Are you familiar? He's a
No.
also he's an Australian like producer artist, I'd say. Or check him. I'll send you some of his stuff afterwards. But when I interviewed him like a year ago,
Absolutely.
now he's like blowing up. He's been playing at Tomorrowland, like all these things. And when I asked him about like his experience of, now like it's making money, it's no longer cringe, right? It's well, it never was. But what he said is he's like, oh, I've always been an artist. For 12 years, he's been getting after this. And he's like, I was making music, people were listening, I was enjoying it. Now I'm just getting paid for it. So he was like,
That is so true. My gosh, I agree with that so hard. It's like, yeah, I've been doing all of the hard work. This has been my life for the past how many years? Like, almost 3 years. And it's like, I've always been this. It's like, only now are you guys seeing it for the first time, And I think it's that, just like backing yourself. That's what I mean by like doing all the hard work. I worked with Les Chantry a lot over his like Zoom class. He's this amazing acting coach in Sydney. And he, I think it was him. Maybe it wasn't him. Although, shout out to him if it was. But he's kind of one of the people that was saying to me, like, if you have nerves about an audition, or if you're unsure of yourself about what you're doing, there's like, oh, will I, won't I get it? Like, oh my gosh, am I going to remember my lines? Will I do a good job? Is the emotion going to be there? Is it going to be genuine? Will I stumble? One of the things that you can do is just outwork everyone else, in the sense of going home, learning your lines, doing the accents, going over and over and over it, and overworking, not overworking, but working so hard to the point where you can walk confidently into the room and be like, I have the confidence of, like, I am someone who deserves this role because of the fact that I did the hard work, and that was me. And I did that. And I just realized who actually said that. It wasn't Les, but shout out to Les, my boy. I'm sure he would agree. It was Laura and Latham, my acting coach, kings and queens. I love them. But it's exactly that. It's that, like, just making sure that you actually do the hard work. So when you walk into that audition, you're like, well, I know I'm good for the job because I did everything behind that. And that's that secret little thing that you have inside of you. And that's how you get that confidence. It doesn't just magically appear, because everyone has nerves. But, knowing that you did physically something can kind of help you when you go into that room and be like, okay, I was working. It's like going to the gym and doing like 15 minutes of some workout versus going to the gym doing like an hour. You know what I mean? It's that, like, you did the effort and it's going to pay off in the sense of who you are and what you feel like after.
Exactly, it's that internal versus the external, which always links back to that tall poppy. Even like another very simple example with the interviews, I only get super nervous when I'm not prepared. And I know when I'm not prepared. Like you said, that's a secret thing inside you. So, and I'm not doing it to flex Oh, Meg, like I did all this research. I'm prepared so that wherever our conversation naturally goes, I can look to the side. I'm like, oh, I have a question for that. Or when she did this. And like being able to know it secretly inside you and that internal confidence and reassurance of, I have put the effort in and I've done the work. And then you recognize when you haven't. And so then you just hope that your muscle memory skills are going to come to play. And at that point, you're like, okay, I am underprepared, but I've done, 150 episodes. Like, I can wing it. But building both, because you can't always be completely prepared for every situation, but that is what experience is, right? Like that's when people say, oh, I've got experience in this, because they're familiar of walking onto a set and then they go, actually, we're gonna change and this character's gonna be here and pivot. And you haven't had time, but because previously you've been putting in that money, you've been doing the work, and that's when you build experience. You go, oh, I'm really uncomfortable right now, but when this happens next time, I'm going to be able to tap in and remember how to do it.
Oh my gosh, that's quite literally what I've learned through Shorty. That is literally us. Because we'll be just shooting back to back to back scenes, but then, someone gets sick, something has to happen, or this angle won't work, or this line doesn't work because something's changed in the storyline. It's like it's so many things that you just have to be able to adapt to so quickly, especially like knowing where your eye lines are, if an actor can't be in that space, and just it's learning all of the technique, and that's what Shorty has been through. I kind of equate it to it's like a machine, sort of, in that sense of it's very well oiled. We go through the motions and we know what we're doing. And so when you're kind of plopped in there, you're like, oh my God, ah! And then you kind of go along and you're like, oh, I get this, I get this, I get this. And you keep going until it's just kind of in your nature. And that's what I think, like professionally, it's taught, because this is truly was my first acting job. And so it was my first experience on any set ever. And I was terrified. But then the people are so kind and like family, and they're just, I think that's a part of it, but also just being able to quickly learn and adapt, and learning your lines so quickly, like sometimes even on the day. Yeah, don't call me out for that. But hey, I always like to prepare, but sometimes things change and then the lines change and you have to work with that. And I think that is such a huge skill that I will forever be indebted to Shorty for, because that type of environment, soap operas are so specific and is such a different like training ground for actors. I think, that's when you kind of look at like Margot Robbie and the way she can just control how she cries. Like she's like, left eye or right eye, like tell me, babe, and I'll make it happen. It's like that type of training. Like I haven't got to that level, but I can cry on cue. Look, but maybe not the specific eyeball, although I've tried. It's quite fun. But it's that specific training that you could only really get through this show or these types of shows. And I just wanted to circle back onto what you were saying about preparation. I think it's that quote, people will mistake people like you and me for being very lucky, but luck is just when your preparation meets an opportunity. It's that hard work meeting the opportunity that you've been waiting for you to show off everything that you have done, for you to use your skill. And I think that's a major misconception, is that I was just lucky. I mean, sure, in this grand scheme of things, I definitely was, because I had like not much prior experience. I didn't really know what I was doing, and all of a sudden I get chucked into this job and I was like, whoa, that for me, that was absolutely lucky. I will own that and say it was lucky. But the work that I've done throughout the years on myself to get new skills as an actor and to develop my skills and to be more truthful and more technical, especially in terms of being on set and in person, and then also the publicity side of things, I think that is all very much that hard work meeting opportunity. I think, yeah, love that. Period.
Exactly, and that's such a good lesson for people who are listening to say, yes, absolutely, there's luck involved, sure, but isn't it like the harder I work, the luckier I get? Because you do, there's opportunities, and then that networking which you talked about in the beginning of, and not networking in the like, oh, LinkedIn networking, no, but like open and wanting to expand your support or like just expand your horizons and talk to different people, and then suddenly, yeah, you are at some event and someone's like Meg, I didn't realize you had an American accent. Oh my gosh, I'm working on this, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly those opportunities evolve because you have that genuine curiosity and want to expand. That's not false, or you're not trying to necessarily chase something. You just want to expand. And that's such a
Exactly.
gift to be in. And before we get to your fan questions, one I had had, but you just kind of touched upon high performance. Like Shorty is high performance. Exactly. It's a well-oiled machine. Like the fact that you, at your age, at your career level, have done close to 200 episodes, that's how you put in the reps. Like you put it at the gym and then it pumps it out. And so I'm like, in like for now, for you, what do you think makes a set or a situation most conducive to like a great performance for you?
Yeah, I think a large part of it is, I think it's the people, which will kind of sound strange. It's obviously the preparation beforehand and making sure that I know what I'm doing and I know what the beats are and the context and the storyline. So it's like a high emotion type of scene where it's like an argument or I'm crying or something crazy is going on, essentially. I think the best thing, because I was going to say maybe it's the familiarity of the set that I'm on, but it's not that because I could be on location and still have the same feeling. It is the people and having trust in those people, which for me, I've had the privilege of working for the past like, 3 or so, a little bit under 3 years, and being so close with Jess and any scene with her, I just feel completely safe. And I think it's that feeling of like just like straight up trust and safety with not only the cast, but also the crew, the people behind the camera, the people who are working so tirelessly to make the show happen. It's not just us. We're maybe like a little speck in there. We're just the faces. There are so many other things and so many other people that go behind productions like this. And it's that it's meeting and making connections with those people and knowing that they only want the best for the show and for you and for your performance. And therefore you can only want that for yourself. And I think that's what makes an environment where I can perform and feel, safe enough to let myself go to these vulnerable places. Because, I think about it a lot, and with acting, it is so much vulnerability. We're constantly just like being worn down. And at the end of the day, you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm like an empty glass of water. Like where's my water at? That's what that feels like. It feels like your battery's been drained. But that's because we've been putting ourselves emotionally through so much during filming all day or auditioning. And I think that state of high vulnerability, a lot of people are scared to be in. And I personally definitely have been scared of that. I used to find it very hard to be vulnerable. But then I realized the more that I talk about it and the more that I realize it's okay and there is strength in vulnerability, because I used to have a misconception where vulnerability meant weakness. But I'm
No.
like, no, it doesn't. I think some of the strongest people are the most vulnerable people in a room. And I think with being an actor and vulnerability being such an important skill to have, especially, when you're like crying on set or like fake crying, quote unquote, it's yes, purely a physical thing, but also to get yourself emotionally there. I wouldn't be satisfied with a performance if I wasn't emotionally feeling that. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, but I think whether it's I'm being recorded on camera or if I'm in the room with the casting directors, I want to be feeling that, because then I know for sure that that is real and that's the emotion I'm bringing out. Because people think, like acting is lying, acting is just fake, you're just saying your lines going la-di-da. But I do not believe that for 1 minute, because what we're doing is, yes, we're playing a character that's not us, but all of their feelings and everything they're going through is so real. And we're just portraying that. And so it's all truth and it's all vulnerability and it's all just being so trusted, like being really trustworthy of yourself and the people around you. And I think just, but you can think about, times when you're like, oh, it's your first night on set or like of a new production or something. And maybe because you don't know everyone that well, it can be kind of hard. But because the industry and the way that we work, we're so close together all the time. Everybody is always up in each other's business. We're always so close. And it's like that type of thing where you're like, you become very connected very quickly. And I think that's why a lot of film sets, you'll find, like I'm obsessed with Anora. For example, Anora, you see all the interviews and they're like, yeah, we shot this. And like, I think they shot it in less than 2 months, or like a crazy amount of, like a really short shoot. But they became so connected and so close. And that's because we're being vulnerable with each other all the time, not just the crew and not just the cast, but with the director, with the camera, with everyone. We're just constantly being in this emotional state, which then it connects you to people. And I think that's what I'm saying. It's like what makes a set work the best is the people with you. And yes, to some extent, you can be, professional. If you don't get along with someone, you can be like, okay, that's fine. Let me do my job. That is a good skill to learn too, by the way. But it's more like when you have that base level foundation of, okay, I know that you've got me and I've got you, and that's kind of what makes a scene fly. Because then you know that you can't make a mistake and you can just feel it, breathe it, do it,
I really, really like what you said there. I actually love what you said about the vulnerability part too, because when you are vulnerable and you find strength in that, it's like, oh, here's everything and I'm still here and I'm confident and I'm showing you all my things, and that's why I feel so strong because there's nothing else. And it makes me think of It's like if you go to, trying to like li literally leap, like physically take a leap from, I
Yeah.
don't know, A to B. If you half-ass it and you don't fully commit to jumping over, you might as well have just stayed on the side that you're at, because that's when you're going to fall
Exactly.
and fail. So it's, you can't get into it and then be like, actually, no, I'm not going to do it. You have more success if you're
Yeah.
like, okay, I'm just going to fucking give it the best go
Yeah.
I've got, because that is when you're going to be able to make that physical and emotional jump and leap,
Yeah.
clear it, because you're not being lukewarm. Who said that? Roald Dahl, maybe. Lukewarm is no good. Either stay cold or be extremely hot, but lukewarm is no good.
Exactly. You can't just be on the fence all the time. And I think that's something that's super important is just being able to like fully back yourself, fully take the leap and do the thing to the fullest extent, the best that you can, because then you'll never have regrets or thinking about, oh, what if I did this? What if I did that? Oh, why didn't I do that? It's just if you have an idea, if you have something that you want to do, go for it. Because if you don't do it at all, you're going to lose out on so much opportunity. And the worst thing that could happen is maybe it doesn't work out in the way that you want it to, but then it could lead to something else. And so if you just put yourself out there, take the leaps that you want to take and just go like full force, balls to the wall, just do it. It'll be so worth it. That's like absolutely it. It's so worth it every time.
And then I swear I'll get to the questions. It makes me think of, this is such, listeners who haven't heard this will be like, what the heck? But it's the whole it's like, fuck around and find out. Like, give it a go. Find out. So either give it a go and you find out, you know what? It's not for me. Like, I really gave it a go, but you're not going to sit back and go, oh, well, maybe if I tried like a little bit harder. Find out, like, if
No,
it's a no, make it a definitive no. But don't be sitting there going, oh,
exactly.
maybe it could, oh, I could have, if I'd done this, if I'd done that. No,
Oh,
fuck around
girl,
and
you're
find
speaking my
out.
language. Look around and find out.
Yeah.
It's so important. I think, you can, people will take, it started off being a meme, but like, fuck around and find out. Like, I'll beat you up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like funny. But then you apply and you're like, no, I will fuck around and I will find out. Like, I actually want to know. Like, being curious about things, being like, wait, let me actually like fuck around and do that. I think that's so important because not enough people are doing it. Not enough people are just being like, you know what? I'm just going to go full force into it. I think that's one of the most like attractive things about people and people in general is their passion. Like seeing like my friends be so passionate about something. I'm like, oh my God, that is why you're so amazing. That's why we are friends. Or I like seeing that in myself, being like, I'm so ambitious and so passionate about my things. I'm like, that's why I care so much. And that's why, the world is a better place when we all are just creating and doing things, no matter what it is, as long as we feel intensely about it and we love what we're doing. That's all that matters. And I think it's really important because I saw this quote that was, I can't remember who was saying it. I think it was a musician, but he was saying, a lot of people are trying to be really cold out here and really like, oh, this doesn't matter. Oh, whatever. Fuck him. But like, we need more warm people in the world, not lukewarm, but we need more warm, like, people. We need to be nicer to one another. We need to be kinder and just more open and welcoming. Because I think for so long the trend was to just be like, oh, I'm in my own lane, like I'm doing my own thing, which is like fair enough. Like I'm like that. I'm definitely like hyper independent as hell for sure. But I think it's learning that like you can do that, but also be an incredibly warm person and be incredibly open and just welcoming. And it doesn't have to be some weird like competitiveness because that's not what we're here for. You
No,
know, we're all
it's
here
not.
to succeed in our own ways.
It's not as, I always get this wrong, but it's not a zero net sum game. It's the one where it's like your success does not take from mine.
Exactly.
We can both, like, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? And that
Exactly.
is something interesting I probably witnessed more in America. And again, I love some parts of Tall Poppy. I think it builds resilience, it's humility. All the thing, it's there's no right or wrong, it's just how we experience it. But one thing that has been quite interesting contrast is in the States, it's like, oh, if someone's doing well, it's like, oh, how can I associate myself with them? How can, like, almost like a bad way of like, oh, how can I jump on their wagon? Whereas in ki like Kiwiland, we're a bit more like, who do they think they are? Like a little bit more judgy, like kind of
I
distant.
know.
Whereas in the States, it's like, oh, you're successful all of a sudden. It's like, oh, Grace, I heard you were talking to blah, blah, blah. Like, let me hear.
Yes, it's that like insane networking thing, and that's kind of what I'm like kind of jealous of the Americans for. Like I've weirdly enough, with the accent work, I've studied this, and it's more about the fact that they have this like blind confidence. The way that they speak, the way that they are, is just this straight up confidence. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna get what I want out of this conversation. And I think that is something I'm so like when I'm doing my American accent, I like to call her American Meg, Miss Hollywood Meg. It's like, what would she be doing? How would she be going about things?
Love
And I
that.
use it in my everyday life now. When I feel nervous, I'm like, wait, no, how's American Meg handling this? And she's like, no, she's a boss, but she's gonna handle this great. Like, she knows what she's doing. That like alter ego for yourself is so important. But I find that like that networking thing, it's like not necessarily a negative thing, but it's also not the most genuine either. Cause it's like, oh, she's successful. Let me put her in my circle, you know, but also like kind of go you. Like, I kind of want to be doing that. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, wait, let me do that. Let me make connections real quick, you know?
And that's why being in different cultures or environments and talking to different people, it's like I don't need to completely adopt that behavior, but something I've just witnessed and gone,
You can learn from it.
oh, yes, exactly. I learned from it. I love the curiosity. I love that shameless asking. So now with people, I'm like, okay, so instead of being like, how did you do that? I'm like, from a distance, how did you do that? I'm like, oh, no, like, tell me, like,
Tell
how,
me
like,
specifically.
I'll write it down. How did you do
Yeah,
that?
I will take notes. I've got my notepad right here. Like, let me know.
Actually, okay, we're gonna run through some fan questions.
Yes.
Like some of these are like big, so we're gonna go like bigger, and then the teas people want to know.
Yes.
Is Meg coming back? Is Cassie coming back? Okay, the big one, because I feel like we're gonna start more in our fields and then maybe like come a little bit
Yeah, okay.
higher.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you deal? You do put yourself out there. This is Tall Poppy Talk. How do you deal with that online harassment and just fame in general?
This is a really interesting one because recently I've been getting an insane amount of hate online, which is kind of like I've been dealing with this since I was 15, this like online harassment, which in perspective sounds fucked up. Like I was a kid and I still am a kid, I'm still 18, but I've had like 2.5 years of this like online harassment under my belt, where it's kind of at that level of I've experienced it on a not in a different way. Like, I think everyone obviously on the cast gets it. But I think for me, because I am younger and the harassment is coming from younger people, but also older people at the same time, it's a really confusing thing because you can't really please everyone. And that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to be me. I'm just trying to be real and authentic. And I can't help it. What I've learned is that people will harass you and message you death threats and do all these horrible things because they're insecure. And that's something you can't do. And it's really sad because insecurity is one of the most debilitating things I think we are born with. We all have insecurities. And it really, really does set you back. And it causes people to act in ways that you would never, you know, you would never, I would never purposefully message people horrible things because that's just not me.
No.
And you have to realize that people are doing this because they are struggling with themselves so much that they have to take it out on you because that's the only way that they can do it because they take it out on themselves too much. So
Yeah.
they need to put it somewhere. And that's unfortunately me. And I think a lot of it is, it's really interesting. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's more like sexual harassment online and in person as well. It's that factor of being like a younger girl on a very public TV show. And I think just being who I am, I like to like post a lot of photos of me doing things and like a lot of fitness things and all of this. And you get comments on your body and you're like, oh my God, body image check. Whoa. You know, it's like it can be very confronting. And I think as being a woman in this
Yeah.
space, I think maybe you've experienced it too, but it's just that extra layer of judgment because of the fact that we are female and we've got like in society has built so much insane like ideals around what we should be and what we shouldn't be and how we should speak and how we shouldn't speak, or comparing us to other women and being like, well, she kind of looks like that, but she doesn't look like that. She's not as talented as her, but she's better than her. It's a crazy big spider web that we just need to like clear because I mean, we never will because it's so ingrained in history. But I find that a lot of what I deal with is that like slight A sexual harassment from like creepy older men. Shout out to the older men. Man, what are you doing? That's crazy. I got screenshots on screenshots, baby. I got a whole folder on my phone. Like, y'all
Love
are going
it.
to jail. Anyway. And then it's also that like jealousy level of things of people sitting like the other week I had someone set up like an AI bot that commented like paragraphs of hate on all my posts every morning at 7:30. So I'd wake up, wait for it, and then block every morning. It was so fun. Let me tell you, I made a game out of it. I was like, oh, can I beat them? But I know, it's crazy, it's wild. But I think you kind of have to take it with a pinch of salt because you understand that it's not about you. It's
Wow.
yes, like in some aspect, yes, it's you succeeding, which is a wonderful thing, and it's me reaching milestones, but at the same time, what they're doing is nothing to, I haven't done anything to provoke them. It's entirely their perception of me that's caused them to do this thing. And I think learning that was a hard thing to do because I mean, you know, people on TikTok are ruthless. People are mean. And you really just have to realize over time, like when I was younger, maybe I took it a bit to heart, but you know, I'd always make light out of it because I'd be like, oh, haha, funny. But also not haha, funny. It's not haha, funny anymore. And then you realize I can't do anything about it, but just stay strong on myself. Because if I get hurt, if I feel, not to say that it's, you know, an okay thing, it's not okay at all to be harassing anyone, but to let myself stay strong and to not let myself get hurt by these things, I'm winning
Yeah.
and they're not. To let them win would to let it affect me and for me to maybe like retaliate in some way. And I think that's a fine line that you kind of have to dance because it's like, oh, do I talk about it? Do I not? Because do they win if I acknowledge it or not? Which I recently did. I posted on my story. I was like, guys, I don't condone harassment at all. And this is, you know, something that's been going on for me. But I'm just, it's not because I had messages, people being like, have you seen these comments, girl? And I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, maybe I should acknowledge it, but also be like, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not allowing it to affect me. I think that's such a mental barrier you have to put up. Those boundaries, I think, are really important. And to not let it stop you from posting what you want to do or, you know, being happy about things. I think just fearlessly doing whatever you want and being like, whatever people think about it isn't my problem. But also turn your comments off. It's so fun. I do it sometimes and I'd be like, you can't say anything. You know?
I'm Meg. I'm actually so like taken aback and impressed by your ability to say that and mean it, because like yes, you can say, oh, you know what they say is a reflection of them, not me, like we've heard those things, but for you to be getting just unacceptable comments, solicitation, it is literally unacceptable in the most pure sense of that word. Like we cannot accept it, but for you to not let it alter your path and where you stay true, I'm just so impressed. So thank you.
Thank
I
you.
was listening to you. I was like, because I'm way more often being like, what do people think? Like I do the tall poppy, but I'm still thinking of those things. So just thank you. I just took a lot from that, and I know someone listening. Take a pause, pause the podcast, and then keep listening. Pause it and then think about that. So thank you, because yeah, it's not okay, but it's happening, and you're staying true to yourself. And I'm sure there's gonna be times when you wanna clap back, right? Like get
For
past.
sure, girl.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But
Usually I'll just rant to my parents. I'll just be like, oh my God, this person, they fucking glare. And then I'll be like, you know what? Actually, it's not that big of a deal. Let me just go on with my day.
yeah, and it is like as the bigger I'm gonna say like the bigger you get, but the more reach you have, like let's say it's 10% is negative. That 10%'s gonna get bigger because the 90%'s getting bigger, like the positive stuff's getting bigger,
Exactly,
but
exactly.
something that used to be one comment a day might become 10 comments. Or at some page, it might become 100 comments, but there's like 900 comments of the good stuff. So it is
Exactly.
unfortunately, especially as a woman in the industry, in the social media world, people like think they're anonymous and they think people don't read the comments.
Yeah, I know,
They
but we
do.
do. We see you for sure. And I think because we're so hardwired to have like such a negativity bias that that's what we stick on to. There could be
Yes.
like 90 positive comments and then 10 horrible comments, and we're thinking about those 10 for the rest of the day. And it's seriously rewiring your brain to be like, oh my God, no, but look at all these positive things. These are the more important things. But our brain gets so stuck on it sometimes. It's
And
crazy.
even like this is so, it's such like a niche, but you say, thanks for the engagement. Thanks, babe.
Yeah,
Negative.
haters are just confused fans. They are just confused fans. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And even, and then I'll ask another one, but like you'll just find this funny of I've had emails and I'm like, the level of like time and effort you took to obtain, like the podcast email is not hard to find, but like to write an email, and normally it's good, but it'll be critique about like a question line I did, like such niche. And
Oh
I
my God,
do.
that's
I know,
crazy.
I welcome it, but I'm always like, rogue that you took the
Rogue
time.
be rogue.
You took the
I
time
know.
to
I
write an
actually like,
email.
it depends if it's like constructive, you know what I mean? If it's like they're genuinely trying to help you, but also like, damn, like that was like, it could have been like an interview you did like 2 years ago. Like, you're still thinking about that now? Like, damn, queen, listen to the other like 200 episodes I've just done. Like,
Yeah.
what?
No, literally, one of them was very helpful. I was like, yeah, no fear. Like, thank you. I'll take the note.
Like, thank
No,
you. Thank you,
saved.
babe.
Love that.
Exactly.
Okay, we sort of, and not that it's not super important, but the childhood, we're gonna maybe like not unpack that just yet.
Yeah, period.
No, like I know that your fans were asking, but Meg and I before we started were like, this is gonna go, like we're gonna yap, and we're yapping. So it's
Yeah, we are.
not that that's not a super huge part of you, and you kind of mentioned that in parts. I'm gonna move through. So sorry to the fans who asked about that. I'm not going to tap into this today. I think cons of being a New Zealand actor. I know we talked about like the smallness of the industry of the group being good and bad, but if we to touch upon that question, pros and cons of being an actor.
Okay, I think pros, it's kind of a pro and a con. Like I said, the fact that it's small is that like everyone knows each other, but also that's kind of a con because everyone knows each other. But also, I think that also makes us very like tight-knit at the same time, which is a very large pro. I quite like that. And yes, because we're actors, we're very dramatic people and things happen and, you know, shit happens. A lot of the things that you can kind of deal with kind of feel intense because it's such like a, it's a very connected industry. But I think another pro is that because we're kind of known for working very well, like New Zealand's kind of known, that's why a lot of like big productions like East of Eden just shot here, like a lot of really big productions overseas will come shoot us because we've got really good crews. Shout out to the crew. We work really well together very seamlessly, and that's because I think we're so chill. Like compared to American sets, I feel like we're very laid back. We just get things done, you know? We just like, we're like, yeah, okay, yeah, you need that shot, easy, we'll do it. Whereas everyone's like, how are they so relaxed? So I think that's a major pro, is that we just, because of the Kiwi culture, that we're so like, oh yeah, it's like, it's whatever, you know, we'll, yeah, easy, we can do that. We're very like easygoing. And I think that's a major, major pro, because then it kind of lets us go through the motions of things and film things, and it just feels simple and not so complex. And I also find another pro of being a Kiwi is the fact that it kind of makes you stick out a little bit more when you're thinking like in terms of overseas. They're like, oh, let me see this audition of this girl. She's doing an American accent. Cool. Wait, in her slate, she's got an accent. She's from New Zealand. Oh my gosh, interesting. She's like from a different country. She's got a little pizzazz. I think that's a major pro. Like I used to think being from New Zealand sucked. I was like, oh, the Americans have all the shit. But then I'm like, wait, no, because being from New Zealand makes me interesting. You know, I might not be the typical Kiwi because I think I have that like very like American like. I get told I'm very American-like sometimes, which I'm like, period, of course. Like, ooh, you know, that confidence, I'm like, yep, thank you. But then at the same time, it's kind of like I have a little bit of, it's that culture and like having that richness. We have such a rich culture in this country. I think that's a major pro, having that and just being able to share that with the world as well and let that be something that makes you stand out instead of blend in. I think it's really cool.
And that's a privilege that we have of standing on the shoulders of those who went before us, right? Like we do have Lord Kimber, Taika Waititi, like there are so many,
Lord.
yeah, literally though, like there's so many creatives, sports people, Kiwis that have gone before that I almost feel this obligation to be like, I need to do something remarkable with my life
Exactly.
because
So
I
I can
get
be one of them.
because honestly, like there's so many times where I'm traveling where I say I'm from New Zealand and people go like Lord of the Rings, oh, they go All Blacks, they go all over. And I'm like, okay, that's because of people before me who have done such wonderful things that the impression of being a Kiwi is a plus. And not to delve here, but like there are so many places and countries that people come from where they get judged negatively because of where they come from, where we are in this beautiful, quite rare experience of when we say we're from New Zealand, I've never, touch wood, had a negative reaction to that. And so, yeah, I love that. Okay, we're gonna ask the question that people wanna know
The
is,
question.
are you coming back to Shortland Street?
Yes, of course. Are you kidding? We've been filming, and I believe that Cassie, I'm not sure when this podcast episode will go up, but I believe it's around a similar time to when Cassie will come back on air. I can kind of tease a few things. So my character previously did not work at the hospital. She was a teen mother, was a recovering drug addict, absolute tea there. But now she's working in the hospital. See her interact with a lot of new people that you wouldn't have seen her with before. And I'm very excited for everyone to see Cassie in a new light, I suppose, because I got to see her in a new light and it was a lot of fun, especially over the couple of years that I've been playing her.
But that's so exciting because you have been on, like, you haven't been on the screens. We've had a little Cassie gap, so people obviously want to know.
Cassie,
And so you are
we've
coming back.
been.
I can say that exclusive.
I know, it's so exclusive. It's so exciting. Because I had a bit of a break over the summer, so that kind of was like the beginning kind of this year, like the start of this year up until I want to say it's like late May that it'll air. We're recording this early May for reference. That is when Cassie will be coming back. And so it's very exciting because all of my comments on TikTok, Instagram, like literally everywhere, all of my DMs are just like, are you coming back to Shortland Street? Are you coming back to Shortland Street? And I'm like, guys, I
Shortland
wish I
Street.
could answer. I'm in my dressing room right now. I swear. I'm reporting live. Like,
I'm reporting
I don't know what to
live.
tell you. But yes, so Cassandra, my queen, is back. I like to call her Cassandra just to make fun of it. But you
Yeah.
know, Cassie's back. She will be back. And I'm so excited
Oh,
for everyone to watch.
you literally heard it here first. This will come out before then, so people can get a little
A little
pre-excitement.
teaser.
Yes. Okay, before I ask my sign-off question,
Absolutely.
I always want to know, is there something I did not ask you during this podcast? Granted that there's a lot we could talk about, but something that I didn't ask you that you feel like I should have and that you want to make sure we get on air today.
I think, well, no, I think you've asked me amazing questions, my girl. But I think touching on just like the amount of like hard work that everyone goes into, this is less about me and more just about all the people that I work with every day. And also all of the auditions that I've been going through and doing and loving. I think it's so much hard work. And people really, you look at these big time actors and these celebrities and you're like, oh my God, I want to be you. And I like hope I will be one day. But it's a never ending job. It stays with you no matter what you do. Like on the weekends, you're working. During the week, you're filming. During the week, you're also auditioning. During the week, you're also doing other interviews and stuff. And it's just an all-encompassing thing. And I love it. I love being so deep into it and just being having that be my world. But I think it's kind of like that very first question that you asked me. It's like what people think you do versus what you actually do. I think people really underestimate the amount of hard work that we go through,
Yeah.
to do what we love. And one thing that I find really important, I watched the film The Last Showgirl with Pamela Anderson a while ago. And there was a scene that really resonated with me. She was in the kitchen and talking about how, what's hard is doing a job that you don't love. What's easy is doing what you love and loving the work and the hard work that comes with it. It's hard to do something that you don't care about. It's hard to live a life that you don't love. And I think that really resonated with me. And so when I think of these times that I go through, whether that be the online harassment or whether that be just like crazy filming days where I'm feeling overwhelmed or drained, it comes back to no matter what, I will still love it. And that's all that kind of matters. No matter what, I know I want to work with this person and I have so much love and ambition for that and I can like feel it in my bones, with these certain things. And then seeing that come to fruition or like, getting signed with the US management, like it's a lot of hard work. But when you get there, it feels easy. It just feels real. It feels natural. And that's it. We work hard, baby.
Thank you. And again, like you have been shouting people out this entire pod, but that's
Yeah.
because that is what motivates you. It's that fuel that gives you a little oomph and keeps you moving. And it's the reason you do it,
Right.
right? Because you have these positive influences and it pushes you forward. And I love what you said because often, and like the again, I always refer back to athletic because it's like an experience I have of when you're exhausted, but you're having fun or you're seeing the results, like then the hard work, like it's hard. But at the same time, you feel this, it's momentum. I think like that's the
It
word.
is.
It's you feel this physical, mental, emotional momentum of like, oh, I'm exhausted, but
Absolutely.
I'm seeing some results out of this, and results is an arbitrary thing. So it becomes life, right? Of
Exactly.
thank you for saying that part because it's just really encouraging of yes, it's hard, and that doesn't mean you don't have hard days when you love what you're doing. For someone listening, like I'm hearing you being like, what a gift that at your age, you know what fires you up.
Absolutely.
People are still like, I feel like I'm landing in the space where I'm like, oh, I think I know what it is that I want to do, but the fact that you have that is so exciting. So just kudos. Okay,
Thank
hard,
you.
no, of course, hard pivot. Not really. I always like to sign off this question. If you had to listen to just one musical artist for the rest of your life, it's like the hardest question, actually. Who's it going to be?
Oh my gosh. You've asked the wrong person because I listen to so much music. Let me tell you, I once told someone what my Spotify Wrapped was, like the amount of minutes, and they were like, Meg, that's equivalent to like almost like 52 days straight. And I was like, what do you mean? No, it's not. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, it is. I listen to an insane amount of music. It's like my
Love.
one tool that I use no matter what. So, okay, just off the top of my head, like I'm in a chokehold. Okay, hold on, hold on. Maybe I'll just go. Let me just look at my Spotify. Hold on. I'll look at my Spotify because it's gonna make my life so much easier.
Of
I
course.
think. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna stick. Okay. I really love Childish Gambino. He's been like, so like Donald Glover, like his
Yeah.
raps, everything. But also, I was obsessed with him when I was a kid because he voiced Jake on Adventure Time. Also, oh no, he didn't. Oh no, he did. No, he wasn't Jake. He was. Oh my gosh, the male version of, I mean, whatever that guy's name was. He was so sexy. Oh, my first childhood crush. He sung the Good Little Girl song, and I was like. And then now I listen to him nonstop, like his raps. Like one time, this is okay, I'll be very quick with the story. One time my phone died and I didn't have my AirPods and I had to walk an hour home with no Google Maps. So the entire time I was just rapping all the songs I could remember from him. And I got through like a good album. Like I was like, yeah, I know that. Yeah, so I love him. That's who it would be.
That's such a good one. And this is so fun for me too, because like I've listened to him a bunch, but afterwards I'm gonna go put him on. I love doing it with
Yeah.
Spotify. It'll be like Childish Gambino radio. So then it's like a playlist.
Yes, I do that all the time.
And then
Yeah.
that's how you get like some new songs, you hear some things. It's like the vibe. Spotify, I'm the same. Either podcasts, like I'm obsessively listening to podcasts or
Of
music.
course.
Naturally, always on. And it's like one of those ones you come into my house, if the music's not on, like check in. I'm either asleep or
Yeah,
I'm not
there's a
okay.
problem. There's a problem. She's gone. She's gone. Alert the police.
Where is
Literally. You
she?
know what? If I could have, if I could choose, if I could just say one more, Troye Sivan, because I went to Sydney by myself last year as my first solo trip, and I got a little tattoo, and I was like, my little trip. But I, on the first night, I went to see Troye Sivan perform at the Sydney Opera House. It was raining. I was soaking wet. I showed up, even though I wasn't, you know, I was debating. I was like, oh, it's really flooding. Oh, I got a weather warning, but do I go? I went. I had the best time. I went by myself, danced the shit out of that dance floor. Yes, I did. And then I like listened to his album, Something to Give Each Other, for the rest of the trip. And now every time I play any of those songs, I'm like brought back to that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Troye Sivan, he's so good. So good.
You get to pick multiple. Also, I'm a huge fan of going to concerts by yourself. I've started doing it, and like I'm gonna go to Post
I do it all
Malone.
the time.
Honestly, because the people who are there, you resonate with, because they're also there to see the same musician. And so I
I
just
know.
bought a solo one. It's Post Malone and Jelly Roll are coming. I live in Amsterdam
Oh
now.
my
That's like a
gosh.
tangent.
Period.
okay, like little, just throw that in.
Okay.
But they're coming, and I was like, yeah, of course, on Tuesday night, I'm gonna go by myself, as one does, like
Yes.
experience it.
Yes. It's so good. I do that literally constantly. Like people are concerned the amount of money I've spent on concert tickets just to go by myself. They're like, oh my God, I saw you went to like Caytranada. Who'd you go with? I was like, me. I got adopted by two older women and we had a great time. What do you mean? I
Went with
had
me,
a great
myself, and
night.
I, and I bonded with everyone, and then I
And I
lived with the
bonded with the people
friends.
around me. Exactly. That's how it works.
Also, I love, because we're gonna sign off in a second, I love that when we
Yeah.
started, before we even started recording, guys, it was like, okay, like time, where should we be? I was like, oh, maybe like 40, 50 minutes. Knowing in my soul, just because we already took like 10 or 15 minutes to get started, I was like, we're gonna yap, but it's, I feel like we haven't even, I want more.
Know.
I
I
want
feel like we
more.
like there's so much. There's so much we could continue yapping about, you know what I mean? Like this maybe we need part two. We need a part two, maybe like in a year's time, and you'll be like, Meg, where are you now? You know?
I've started doing some like what number twos, and one of them,
Oh my gosh, so good.
Rod Corbin, he's a high performance like sports psychologist, and I love, because when I'm with him, we were talking about something, and like live on the podcast, so he's like, yeah, Grace, so what you just did there is blah, blah, blah. Like he like hit me with some like actual like therapy session.
What?
I was like, Rod, you're so
Yeah,
right.
no.
You're right.
You're so right. You're right, King. You're right. Thank you
You're
for
right.
that.
But
Yeah.
there's I am so down for that. We're gonna do part two, like I said, in a year. We reflect on that year ago when you did the interview with Staff to now, to in a year's time, be like, girl, you
Yes.
are fearless. Like, I don't even know what to describe you as now. That's where we're gonna go.
Yeah, exactly. Call me Fearless Taylor Swift. Thank you. That's who
Indeed.
I'll be. I'll have like the album cover. I'll remake it for you.
I would love it.
Fearless. You know what I mean?
I'm obsessed with you. Meg Alexander, I'm gonna sign off formally, and then we'll just
Yes.
have a little chat. Actually, like just giddy, but also super motivated. Like I said, there was moments in there where I was really taking a step back, and I had to swap from being just listening back into interviewer, because just the maturity, the experience that you've already got, such a gift to share that. Really excited. We got the exclusive. You're coming back to Shorty as well.
Yes.
And we're gonna see, you got signed with a US agency. Like, you're at this point of just literally the world is her oyster. She's gonna go. So thank you for taking the time today. This is like a time
Thank
capsule.
you.
grateful to be on Tall Poppy Talk. It's been so fun, but it's such a gift to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. I've had the best time. This was my first podcast, you guys, and this was like such an incredible experience. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to be able to speak on this and for you to reaching out for me, like literally, like thank you. I could not be more grateful.
Thank you so much for listening to Tall Poppy Talk. We'll see you next time. Feel free to check us out on socials, YouTube, and the website. Thanks for today's guest, and we'll see you all next time. Take care.